Welcome into Family Goals, Pastor Jay, David Pollack. We're going to talk to you today about judgment, how you view judgment, maybe some things that you might that might smack you across the face and say, I'm a judgmental butthole.
Davey, I'm coming in hot today. You've messed up.
How?
The first.
Is the first mess ever?
The first lady is upset with you.
Oh, goodness.
And you don't want to get on Jennifer's bad side.
Let me think. I'm trying to think about how I could have got on the first lady's bad side. I got an idea.
Yeah?
Night of worship?
No, it wasn't the night of worship.
Okay. Because I went over and she was talking to somebody, so I just kind of waved and said, hey, and I didn't give her a hug. I didn't know if that was something, or did I rip on you about something?
No. Now, you know the wives listen to the podcast.
They do?
So she's upset because you are judging her on her grocery delivery. And she says you don't have all the facts.
Okay. That's not my fault. That's your fault that I don't have all the facts. Well, because all I know is you told me that she basically Instacarts all the time. She refuses to go grocery shopping. That was your words, not mine.
No.
So should she be mad at me or you?
Well, she's mad at you. She's not mad at me. I'm supportive of the grocery delivery.
Yes.
So she says it's free delivery.
Okay.
You don't have to pay for it. It's like a membership. She says like it's like a Costco membership.
Is the membership free too?
The membership's $60. $60 a year and then free delivery.
So that's $5 a month. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's like a Costco. I don't know what Costco membership is.
It's a lot more than that. But I think that's that's pretty reasonable to have your deliveries, your groceries delivered.
Yeah.
Do you have a amount per month, or is it just one time fee and you can deliver once a week if you want?
Yeah, I think it's just a one time fee.
Do you tip them?
I'm not involved in the ordering and grocery shopping, but maybe so. But she probably does. I mean, she's a
okay.
We try to be generous people.
Okay,
you know,
I like that.
She probably does tip the person, but
I can get down with that, Jennifer. I apologize. I am sorry. I should have been more informed. Your husband should have gave me more details. But surprisingly, I know you're shocked he didn't have them.
I didn't have all the
and
details.
And now you have them. I got them.
I have more details now.
And so we're good.
It's similar to Lindsay. So they give us feedback after they listen to the podcast.
Well, they give us good feedback, yeah.
Yeah. So y'all ever DoorDash?
Nicholas has, yeah. Nicholas is our son that likes to eat more than any human being I've ever met. And I'm not joking, by the way. So Nicholas's Chick-fil-A order is 5 spicy Chick-fil-A sandwiches with no pickles. That's in one sitting. I'm not lying.
Is that like $1,000 on DoorDash?
It's not $1,000. We don't do the Chick-fil-A. We have several nearby that are close. We go to Chipotle, 3 burritos and 2 bowls.
Where is he putting all this?
I don't know.
I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. Is he like 250?
Probably. He's over 210, I think. So he's a big boy. But like, yeah, teenagers can eat, man. I told him, I was like, if you keep this up.
Metabolism.
I told him, you keep this up, you're going to have to get a job.
Yeah. You got to pay for this food.
Yeah. Hey, we did tell him this one thing, and we can get in the message. But we told him this one thing, and I would adopt this if you can. If you're in a position to adopt this across the country, I would adopt this. So when Nicholas started driving a couple months ago, we were like, hey, bud, you can't just go where you want and buy what you want food-wise. Like, that's not okay. Like, you have a budget. So he has a budget. But one thing we did, one stipulation we put in there is, if you take your sister with you, it's on us always. So it's really, really cool because now he's like, Leah, what are you doing? You know, because he wants free meals. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to use his budget. But what do we get? We get what we want. We want them to continue to build a relationship and spend time together and love each other. So it was definitely if you can afford to do that, I would implement that at home because they don't realize it, but we're winning. Like they're like scheming, like, yeah, let's meet up. Let's come get me. Let's do this. And we're like, that's exactly what we want. Because, you know, you're trying to foster as much as you can, you know, love for brother and sister.
That's a good strategy. Now, is he driving her to school?
Yeah, he took her to school this morning. Okay. Now, he's got football sometimes, so before school, but he doesn't take her every day. But when there's nothing,
now,
yes.
Now, does he have a separate checking account, debit card that he's spending his own money when he goes out on his own?
No, he has a budget per month that we give him.
Okay.
So, and he has to stay under that.
So. Yeah. So Jesse, you know, she's 16 years old. She has her own checking account, her own debit card. And so she's just cracking us up because she does all this babysitting, and she's like, I'm babysitting just to pay for gas and food.
This is weird, huh? This is real life? Wow. Like, wait a minute, I have to pay for things?
Yeah.
It is fun to watch them have to do that.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I texted you the other night, and I was like, what do you want to talk about on the podcast? And of course, I gave you some options.
And I answered.
I gave you three options: family-oriented, like marriage, parenting. And you did give me, you said yes, you said to one, which we're going to get into.
Okay.
But then you said you want to talk about judgment.
Correct.
And I'm like, God's judgment? Like, are you wanting to go fire and brimstone on people? And
sending people
then you said, no, human judgment.
Sending people to hell on the podcast.
Yeah. And so then I said, what does the Bible say about judging others? Like, I was trying to figure out that's the topic you were wanting, and then you come back with some smart aleck, like, come on, man. Like,
I thought you were saying, I thought Mr. Pastor Man was going, what does the Bible say about judgment? I'm like, come on, Pastor Man. Like, you're supposed to know this. And then you're like, no, is that the topic? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Whoops, I'm trying to figure out the topic, because at first I thought you were going hell, fire, and brimstone on people.
Yeah, I wasn't like, trying to send people to hell.
Yeah. This seems out of left field.
First of all, this
human
is
human judgment.
Well, we did forgiveness too, out of left field.
I know.
And it's so, like, I mean, it's just, I think it's things that I've seen or read that have struck a chord. Mm-hmm. But I also like it when I tell you that and I don't tell you what it is. So you can come with your opinion and what you think too. I just think, judgment's a big part of our faith. Like, mm-hmm. I think it becomes a huge part. And the Bible talks about judgment, and Jesus talked about judgment. And I'm just very curious before I give my opinion. Like, I'm very curious on, like, I think everybody, so many people go, you know, judge not. You shouldn't judge. And I understand the premise behind that, but like, I also think we should judge. So I think it's both sided, but that's why I was kind of curious.
I knew you were going to have a contrarian view on this.
It's not a contrarian view. It's my view,
well,
which is usually
gonna,
contrarian.
I knew you were going to have a unique view.
Which is
this.
Why I always let you go first so I can give the other side.
Well, I try to get you to teach the lessons. Okay, why don't you prepare the lesson?
You can't mess up the chi on the, this is what we do. You do the
and
lesson
I'm like,
and I'm.
No, you're like, no, you prepare. So I went full out. Like I did a whole deep.
You don't do anything half but.
Which is actually good for me because it's not a subject that I would have studied on my own.
You're welcome.
But I pretty much could do a sermon series on this now.
Well, I mean, I did, coming soon to a theater near you, Greystone.
I did a deep dive into this. And so I'll start off with the classic text that you're referring to, and then we'll get into it. But I have all kind of Bible verses and
I didn't tell you a text. What are you talking
about?
I've
got like a 10-point message.
I didn't tell you the classic text that I was talking about.
Well, in my mind, the classic text. Okay. Well, let me give you the classic text.
Okay. It
comes from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But he says in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. From the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I mean, to me, that's like the classic text on judging others. Or not judging others.
So when you hear that, what does that make you think?
Well, the first point I wrote down was don't judge or you will be judged.
Okay.
So I think with the measure you use, and I think that's the big question to ask, is he saying that we shouldn't judge others, or is he saying be careful in how you judge others because that's how God is going to judge you?
Well, and see, this is where I was hoping it would go because, again, we're reading a text that's very old. The Bible is extremely old. There's a lot of area for the Bibles with interpretation that you can use interpretation and you can make decisions on what you think it is and what you feel, which is good and bad at sometimes. I think good and bad. Because if you do your research, I think, and you study, I think it's good. I think it's really good. But I think some things in the Bible are taken and gone out of context. Like, that's not what it means. That's not even the setting in which it occurs. I think that's important. But to me, no part of that says, like, the only part in the beginning says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. But it doesn't say, don't judge. It doesn't say judge not. It says do not judge others and you won't be judged. Well, let's be honest. Who is not going to judge? No one. Everyone's going to judge. And here's my thing on this. I would also argue we should judge. Because if somebody's beating their wife, like, I should judge that. I should be able to look at that and go, that is 100% wrong. You shouldn't do that. So, like, to me, that's okay. Somebody that abuses children, like, that's wrong. You know, so it doesn't say to me, do not judge. It says, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard in which you use in judging the standard by, is the standard by which you will be judged. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with being judged by that standard. You absolutely can judge me by that standard. Now, there are some standards that I think we probably do that you probably don't want to look at yourself. And you don't want to say, because we're pretty judgmental. I'm judgmental. Like, I look at things too many times and think I got it figured out when I don't. Now, the older you get, the better you get at this, I think. Like, the more wisdom you get with it. But I don't think the Bible tells you, you know, judge not. You should never judge. You're not going to judge. To me, that means I'm going to judge, and it's okay. But just realize that ruler you're holding up to somebody else is going to be held up to you and your standards. So I don't know if you've ever heard that or feel that way or feel differently, which is always okay, obviously. But that's just.
Well, I think you've got a good point, and you can't pick and choose and take verses out of context. But you also have to take all of Scripture. So you can't just use one verse and build your doctrine, your theology around one verse. And this particular verse, he starts off with not judging, or you too will be judged, and with the measure you use. And I think that the point he's getting at is the whole hypocrite. Like, it's so easy for people to point sins out in other people's lives when they have the same sin in their own life. I think what you're saying is you're fine because you're willing to be judged. You're willing to be evaluated. You're willing to be examined. So you brought up a good point. When someone is obviously in sin, and I wrote this verse down. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture, of course, all the Bible, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's Word is used to judge, and we're to judge based upon the truth. And so he says it's okay to rebuke someone. Yeah. It's okay to correct someone. It's okay to train someone, teach someone. So I think that's kind of what's the difference in rebuking and judging? Like, we're not supposed to judge, but we can rebuke. So what's the difference in the two?
Yeah, and I'm okay. And again, I think this is something, it gets easier the older you get, but I would call into question anyone who says, like, or gets their feelings hurt when they get rebuked or corrected, you know, or called out for nowadays terms. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good thing. Like, if you can handle it. Now, how you handle it is important. And again, I'm way less concerned with what happens. I'm way more concerned with how I respond. Like, way more concerned. I don't care what happens to me most of the time. But I have the ability to control how I respond to what happens, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so I think when you're rebuked, sometimes you can get your feelings hurt. And sometimes when you're called to the carpet and your wife, my wife's the best at this, and I love it. Like, I am so thankful that I have a wife that will rebuke me, that will call me to the carpet and be like, you know, you say you do this, but you're doing this right now. And I'm like, and it might be a kick right between the legs and it might hurt, but I also have to consider that and think about it. And a lot of times when I do consider it and I think about it, she's absolutely right. And so... That would the difference. Judging to me is just looking at a situation and be like, blah blah blah. You like from afar and saying like, I don't really know the situation, but I'm gonna stick my nose in here and I'm gonna judge what's going on. As opposed to rebuking, to me is like, I'm trying to give you a correction. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you. I'm a coach that's giving you a coaching point to apply to your life, as opposed to just being, you know, in your face, just yelling at you for no reason, judging you and not providing some kind of solution or a reason for why I'm doing that.
Yeah, well, you brought up several issues there with the whole rebuking and correcting. I think first, if you're going to rebuke someone or correct someone, you have to have a good enough relationship with that person to speak truth into their lives. Like, probably not best to go up to an absolute stranger, someone you don't know, and start rebuking them, which is what you might see on the college campus of these, like, you know, open air preachers, you know, calling people names and all that. Now, if it's sin, it's sin. Like if we're walking down the street together, you and I, and we see some man beating his wife,
we're gonna do something about
it. We're gonna do something about it, because that's obviously right. We don't know him. We don't know the situation, but we're gonna protect that innocent person.
Absolutely.
Or that person that's being hurt. So I think one, you got to have the relationship with someone. So I think if you're obviously in a marriage, I mean, you're pretty much open to someone speaking truth. That if your parent comes to
some
you
people aren't,
and
though.
Speaks truth.
Some people aren't. Some people are not open to taking advice. Mm-hmm. Like, and I would challenge, you know, I would challenge that. I mean, I have kids that I coach that, like, they don't want to take advice. You know, you have kids probably in your lives that you just, they don't necessarily want to take advice. And so Nicholas texted me from school the other day, and I wanted to point this out to him because it was awesome. You know, he's been dealing with a concussion. He had a little bit, he had bell rung, and he was like, "Hey, you know, my head hurts a little bit today." And yesterday, because he had practiced the day before, and he was like, "Do I just tough this out, or do I back off a little bit?" And I was like, first of all, this is the most important thing you're doing, is you're seeking advice. Like, you're seeking advice from someone who probably knows better. I said, buddy, that won't always be me, but I'm just proud that you sought advice. Mm-hmm. But like, how many of us can take correction, can take advice? But what you said is absolutely true, and it's where I've screwed up the most in my life. Like, I love motivating. I love inspiring, and I love helping people. I don't care who you are. Like, I love spending time with people that I don't know that have walked up, but I got to be careful offering stern advice to people when you don't have a relationship mm-hmm. with them. And I've done that really poorly throughout my life, and I've learned how to phrase things better now. But yeah, you turn people off mm-hmm. really quickly, as opposed to sometimes I could just ask a question instead of making a statement, you know, and helping them to figure something out. But you do, when you have a relationship with somebody and they know you care about them, you should be able to say whatever you want. Like, my wife has the right to say whatever she wants to me. She can say it. And I have to look inside myself when she says it and say, okay, what's here? Like, what can I evaluate? That doesn't mean I always want to hear it. Let me be clear, mm-hmm. okay? Like, we got I was frustrated a couple months ago, and she said something to me, and I was like, she's like, well, you want to know what I think? And I was like, not right now. And she was like, okay, mm-hmm. but in the past, it might have been something different, but you just kind of learned. She was like, okay, that's fine. Not right now. Because there's sometimes what I don't want to hear. You know, mm-hmm. like, I want to process, and I want to, like, you know, maybe I want to be angry for a little bit, you know, or something like mm-hmm. that. But I think you're right on with that.
I think timing, when you bring something to someone, the timing's important. Jennifer brought something to me Monday morning. I'm exhausted on Mondays. Like, I preach three times on Sundays. I'm back and forth.
And you had to talk to people all the time.
I'm worn out talking to people all the time, multiple campuses. And we usually have a full day of ministry. Sometimes we'll have, you know, something on Sunday nights as well, small group or whatever. So she brought something to me Monday morning. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm wiped out. Depleted.
Yeah.
It's like, and I just told her.
Exhausted and wiped.
Exhausted. Yeah. So this is... this is not the time to bring this to me. Like, let's talk about this another day, another time. But I think also with the
You told her that?
Yeah, I just told her that. I said,
awesome.
Now's not the time to talk about it. Let's talk about it later. And it wasn't anything
but we've got to also be able to accept that on the other end.
Yeah, and she understood
hard.
That.
Yeah,
she,
that's
like,
hard.
Like, this isn't on my brain right now. I don't want to talk about this right now. I've got other, you know. But I think also with the measure you use, so the tone. Like, if you're going to talk to Lindsay about something, or I'm going to talk to Jennifer about something, the tone that I use, the volume of my voice, my body, you know, language. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can.
That's a great point.
And I think that's the same. Like coaching, like with Jesse, coaching all of our kids is completely different. But I give her just a little bit of instruction, and she's like, "You're all over me. You're like." You're like wearing me out. But in my mind, I'm just kind of mm-hmm. encouraging them, coaching. But I think parent, child, teacher, student, coach, player, you're putting yourself in a situation where you're wanting to be taught. You're wanting to be corrected. Like if someone's signing up to play football at North Oconee High School football team and you're their coach and you're their position coach, I mean, they should be once you're in coach.
They should, but that doesn't mean they do. And it should. By the way, we got a bunch of people in our church and in our lives, too, that they don't want to hear that either. Like their pride gets in the way. They don't want to be told what to do. Maybe they don't want to look at the sin in which you're calling mm-hmm. to their lives too. Like, I think that's a good meta. Sports are always such a great metaphor, but I think there's a lot of people in our lives that aren't okay with this. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to be okay with this. Like, again, you need to find a few people in your life that are going to do this, mm-hmm. like that are going to hold you to it, that you know have a great heart, that want the best for you. They're not trying to just call you out for no reason. Like there's a reason for calling you out. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to help you become the best version of you. And sometimes that means calling you out and being uncomfortable, and you just got to be okay with that. But I do like what you just said, the tone. I mean, mm-hmm. what have we always said? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And that's also stuff you learn as a parent. And I've told Nicholas that a million times. I'm like, but I'm learning. Like I didn't know what I didn't know about being a parent. And unfortunately, I tell him you were first. And I've told you all that before, but it's part of it. But I do think the tone in which we take with our kids is important, because they don't want to hear all our lectures. And she probably don't want to be coached by you, like yeah. period. And so you yeah. either learn to shut your mouth, or you also learn that you're wasting oxygen.
Yeah.
Like I'm wasting oxygen sometimes with some of the kids I coach. Like I know now I can't help myself because I feel like I got to do my job, but I literally talk to some kids and I'm like, I'm sitting here giving energy and I'm so into this, and I know they don't really care. And that sucks. Like that's mm-hmm. frustrating as crud, but I have to try. And to me, what I've learned is I have to phrase it three different ways. And then I did my best. So if they didn't get it the first time, I gotta find a different way to say it. If they didn't get it the second time, now I got to find a different way to say it. And if they didn't get it the third time, I'm like, all right, I'm good. Like they don't want to get it. They're not ready to receive this yet. But I try to phrase it differently several different times, so I gave it a good chance to communicate. If they don't learn this way, then maybe they learn this way. And then you use a live example, or you use somebody else's position group that goes with theirs, or you know. So you try multiple times, multiple ways.
Yeah, I think with the coaching, it would make no sense to me why someone on your football team wouldn't want to listen to you, knowing your experience. And I mean,
yeah, but I mean that's also assuming that, you know, that's also assuming that everybody is there and everybody's there to get better and to grow mm-hmm. and to be the best version of them, and which is not the case. You know, like you got to meet kids where they're at sometimes, and a lot of them aren't ready for that.
Yeah, and every kid's different, so I think you do have to learn.
Every kid is way different.
Jennifer's great at this. Like, she's kind of learned. I mean, obviously, we've been married for 30 years, but she likes to put things in a question.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Hey, what do you think about this? You know, instead of telling me to do something, yeah. she might phrase it.
Lindsay's done that for a long time, so, and I'm like, babe, just tell me. Like the other day in the kitchen, she mentioned. Oh, I think the light bulbs need to be changed. Well, I looked up and I was like, I didn't really think they needed to be changed. I didn't know if they needed to be changed now. Like a week later, she comes back. Hey, will you change the light bulbs? I'm like, if you want me to do that a week ago, just tell me.
Just tell me.
Well, and that's like men and women, like reading signs. We're not the best at it all mm-hmm. the time. Now that was pretty obvious. I probably should have done better. But
so I think getting back to the judging and then what the Bible says, I think if it's a gray area or a personal conviction, we need to not say anything. But if it's a sin, because you mentioned, you know, if someone's looking at porn or someone's having an affair, I mean, that's something you call somebody out. And no. Especially if it's someone who's in relationship with you. But yeah.
But consider the relationship and consider how you want to phrase it, obviously, is a good point by you.
I think if you're discipling somebody and you're in a discipling relationship, or they're in small group, they're asking you to hold them accountable. So someone is coming to you and saying, hey, I want you to hold me accountable to having a quiet time. I want you to hold me accountable to spending time with my wife. Or I want you to hold me accountable to coming to church on Sundays. Well, I don't think that's judging them. You're just asking. You're doing what they've asked you to do. Yeah. You know, so you're holding them accountable. Let me read another verse on this. Is opposite of what you said on the judging. So this is James 4:11-12. It says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Then this is what it says. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So that would say God is really the only one. There's only one judge, and he's God.
No, which again would still mean that I'm following his rules, his laws, mm-hmm. the way he wants me to live, treating people the way he wants me to treat them, and when I'm not, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So I like that. You got James making that comment, and then you got Jesus, his brother, making the other comments in Matthew.
Yeah, so this is one of the famous stories I love to talk about, the story of the adulterous woman. You familiar with that story?
I think so.
Where the religious leaders got all the stones. They're about to stone this woman who's caught in adultery. And they come to Jesus, and they say, they're trying to trap Jesus, but what do you say?
You preached a sermon on this one time, and I told you how good it was. It was really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, long time ago, many moons ago.
It's been a while. I'd like to go back to this one. But Jesus says, you who are without sin, you throw the first stone. Mm-hmm. And then it says, from the oldest to the youngest, slowly they drop their stones to where it's just Jesus and the woman. And he says, has no one condemned you?
Neither do I.
And then neither do I. But then he says, Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and sin no more.
Yeah.
And so a couple of things I wanted to point out from that is one is we all have sin. We've all made mistakes. So who are we to throw stones at someone else? And we're to leave that life of sin. But we're not condemning someone. You see what I'm saying? Like only God can. But it also says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So,
well, and I'll say this, like to wrap it up, but like there's also, I have judgment in my life that is 100% not godly, and 100% I look at someone and I think something that's completely awful. Like I just, and I would say, I literally will look at it and say it in my head, and I'm like, did you really just say that? Like, really? Like, you're going to act like you're going to judge that person? You're going to judge somebody that God made? Like, God made that person on purpose for a reason, and you're going to judge that person. Like, that's a good way for me to call myself into check. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody, God made everybody, you know, for a mission, for a purpose. Not everyone's supposed to see things the same way. Not everybody's story is going to be the same, or this place would suck. Like, this would be so boring if everybody was like me and you. Mm-hmm. It would suck.
We're so quick to judge people on their outward appearance.
Yeah, outward appearance for sure. How they look, what they're wearing. And yeah. I mean, there's no part of that that's good.
Right.
There's no part of that that's holding somebody accountable for what they're wearing. Like, that's, you're an a-hole. Like, well, you're a jerk and you need to fix it.
This is a little side tangent. Uh-oh. But there's one group of people who should never judge. I'm going to see what you think about this.
Okay.
It's a group of people that should never judge.
I like when I tell you to prepare these messages. You're doing phenomenal, by the way.
Hey, I got all kinds of, you know that group of people is?
Who?
Grandparents. Listen. Grandparents should never judge their grandkids. And when you start judging your grandkids, all you're doing is turning them off. I had two grandmas. I know some people have more than, you know, multiple sets of grandparents. I had two grandmas. The one that judged me the least is the one I like the most. Now, I love both my grandmas, but one was very, like,
hardcore by the book.
Like, and then the other was like, hey, anything goes, you know, my
and that's
grandma.
The one you want, that's the one you gravitated towards?
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to hang out with. That's
okay,
one
but
I
is that the grandparent
with.
You want to be? Anything goes, do whatever you want.
Oh, man, yeah, like she gave me, she would have like these Nestle bars at her house.
This is why you eat all this crap now.
She had white bread.
She didn't help you at all.
She had like the kid cereal, like the Lucky Charms and stuff. Like she had all the great. The other one, you ask her for a Coke. You remember you used to have those taste tests in the grocery stores with the little shot glasses?
I'm not that old, no.
Like Pepsi and Coke?
No.
Well, she would keep those little shot glasses. And that's what she would give us Coke in. Like she would give us, she was a lot more strict. But I think this is a word to the grandparents, is leave the parenting to the parents and you just be grandma and grandpa.
Okay, but what if your kids want that, want something different? What if your kids tell you that they don't want their kids to eat all that crap and drink all that crap and it's important to them?
I think you honor your kids.
Okay, well then that's fine.
But I'm saying you don't judge, like your mom shouldn't be judging Nicholas because he eats five Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Correct.
Or that he doesn't like pickles.
I'm good with that. You know. You know what's crazy is I have two sets of grandparents. Obviously, I have multiple grandparents. not anything weird, but it's, you know, divorce and obviously.
Right.
And then, but my parents and Lindsay's parents, my kids can do no wrong. My kids are the greatest. Like, to hear my mom talk about a sporting event, I swear to goodness, it'd be like Leah was the best Caitlin Clark of the middle school basketball game. And I'll go back and I'll
watch
the tape.
That's great, though. That's how it should be.
100%. I'll go back and watch the tape. I'm like, she sucked. She was terrible. And my mom's like, oh, my God, best player on the field. Like, she was amazing. You should have seen her. She was doing that. I was like, goodness gracious. So, no, I get it. And I think I definitely want to be a – I want to be a cheerleader for my grandkids. Like, I definitely want to be a safe space, a fun space. But I do think – I do want to have – rules and boundaries that are catered towards the parents. Like,
right.
Whatever's
yeah.
important
you're
to them.
You're going to honor the parents.
But even if the parents ain't going to give them Jesus, I'm going to give them Jesus whether they like it or not.
Sure.
And I'm going to be unapologetically me. Yeah. But I think you're right. I think there is, like, be their biggest fan because you ain't got to raise them. You don't have to worry about all the discipline and all that stuff because you get to give them back.
Yeah, you're giving them back.
You give them back. Just don't make it too hard on the kids, though.
So I want to go deeper into this whole judgment thing.
Goodness gracious, you got more?
I got tons more.
Golly.
So 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be fooled by those who say things, for bad company corrupts good character." So I'm agreeing with you in the fact that we have to judge people to some degree.
Yeah.
Because you become like the people you spend time with.
100%.
And so if you're not judging somebody, you don't want to be spending time with the wrong people, and you don't want your kids spending time with the wrong people. So to some degree, you have to judge someone else, and I'm agreeing with you here. So I'm having trouble talking.
Hate the sin, not the sinner.
Yeah. So let's just say a guy wants to take Leah to the prom. Well, you know, this guy's got a reputation of being a womanizer. He's got a reputation of being a partier. You've got to judge him to some degree because you're looking at, you're trying to protect your daughter. So you're not going to let her go to the dance with him. Are you being judgmental, or are you just, you're looking out for what's best for your daughter?
Yeah, and I think the more, we've talked about this, like the more you're around sin, the more you get desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like go back to the locker room again. Like I was around F-bombs all the time, like it wasn't that big of a deal. Now, I'm not around that language. So when I'm around bad language, it sticks out like a sore thumb and it bothers me. Mm-hmm. Like I won't watch any of these shows people love because of the language. I hate the language. If it has bad language, I'm out. Like I just don't want to hear it ad nauseum. Like a couple is not going to bother me, but I'm just saying, you know, ad nauseum. And so...
So by the way, Jennifer and I have discovered something, and I think... They need to sponsor the podcast. I think they've reached out to us about sponsoring the podcast. But
really?
VidAngel. Have you heard of VidAngel?
V-I-D Angel?
Like Video Angel.
Okay.
VidAngel. So we sign up for it. It's a monthly thing. It's like $10 a month.
Another monthly subscription,
another monthly subscription. We're doing all these things that making our lives better.
Yeah, and not going to the grocery store.
So instead of going straight to Netflix or straight to Amazon, you go to VidAngel, and they have all the Netflix shows, all the Amazon shows.
So they basically screened it for you.
Yeah, they've taken all the language out.
Oh.
And all the sex scenes out.
What?
So, yeah, we just watched
Word?
We just watched a show, Inventing Anna, I think it was. They took all the language out. Any sex scene, they just skip over it.
That's fantastic.
It's a whole, so you can watch a show, and they just mute
I've never
it all
heard
out.
Of that, but VidAngel is all. Yeah, we're going to get
and
that on the podcast.
It's amazing.
I'm all for that.
And so they would be a great sponsor for the podcast.
That is awesome. That is
called
really
VidAngel.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm with you that. So the point I made here with that statement is having good judgment is different than judging others.
Yep.
And we have good judgment based upon the truth because we're to be wise and discerning.
Yep.
So you have to have good. So having good judgment is not judging others.
You're
You're just being, you're being wise. Another verse I thought about was, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You're not supposed to date or marry an unbeliever, but you'd have to judge them. To some degree, you're having to make a judgment to whether they're a Christian or not. And I said this in a sermon recently, but I can determine if someone is a Christian or not. Like,
by their fruits?
By the fruits.
By the way they treat people?
You can tell if someone's counterfeit or if they're genuine. Now, it's not my place to judge them. And I think ultimately, when he's saying don't judge someone, I think he's talking about their eternal salvation. Because in the church, there are sheep and goats. There are wheat and weeds. There are good fish and bad fish. And Jesus says, it's not our job to determine who is good and who is bad. He's gonna cipher it all out at the end, you know. And then the purpose of God's judgment. I feel like you're getting bored with our conversation.
No, but I feel like you definitely. I'm impressed at the amount. Like, you've got 17 pages of typed notes, and I've got one verse and one little comment underneath.
Exactly.
It. This is exactly why I said you lead this and not me. This is fantastic.
Yeah. I was trying to get you to do it, but so the purpose of God's judgment is to lead to repentance. And if the reason we're judging others, like if you look at someone and you say someone's on your football team or a parent of a player, you're not judging their salvation in the fact because you're trying to condemn them, but you're judging them because you want to save them.
Yep.
Like, you're like, hey, this person may not, based on the fruit that I'm seeing, this person may not be a Christian. So I ought to take him to breakfast and share the gospel with him.
So I'll give you another example of that. So I got a player on my team that has a cross on his forearm, is pretty new. And it had numbers next to it too. And I was like, hey, man, and I know a little bit about this young man. And so I was just asking questions like Jennifer would do. And I was like, what does that mean? And he said, you know, this is the date I got X. And I was like, okay. I was like, what does the cross stand for? And he looked at me like I was crazy. You know, like everybody knows the cross stands mm-hmm. for God or Jesus, whatever you want to say. And he was like, God. And I was like, oh, so you have a relationship with God? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, how do you have a relationship with God? You know, and mm-hmm. he was like, well, you talk to him. I was like, oh, how do you talk to him? Like, you know, what are the ways you talk to him? And he was like, prayer. I was like, oh, how do you like, what does that mean? Like, how do you pray? Like, but just mm-hmm. like prying and asking questions to try to get, you know, deeper into the conversation. And what we ended up getting to was like our behaviors and our actions and how we honor God or we don't. And I was talking about some of the things that are pleasing to God. And, you know, some kids don't make great decisions when they're younger. And, you know, just the importance of not drinking, the importance of sexual purity, you know, like, so. And I was like, those are ways we can honor God. And I don't know that people talk to kids like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so those are good opportunities. I wasn't judging him. I mean, I know enough about him, but mm-hmm. I was more trying to help his relationship with God and what that means. And if, can he quantitatively say what that means? You know, like, do you know how to verbalize that? Mm-hmm. I did Lee in the car, drives her nuts. I did the other night. I did the same thing coming home from basketball. And I was like, what's the gospel? You know, and then she mm-hmm. asked, she answered, and I was like, oh, okay. What does that mean? Oh, okay. What does that mean? And she was, you know, Jesus came to this earth and lived the perfect life. And I was like, oh, so where do you go then? You know, just asking questions like I don't know the answers mm-hmm. and making them articulate it, you know, is good. Because anytime you have to teach or formulate ideas, it helps you. It helps mm-hmm. you. It helps you grow it or learn it more and be able to explain it better. And then when you can explain it better, you're a better witness for him. So 100%. I don't do those things to be judgy. I just to try to help bring out mm-hmm. the ways to say it, or maybe the things you can look at that go, maybe I'm not doing what I need to do.
If someone has a cross tattoo or a Bible verse tattoo, to me, that's just an open invitation to ask them, to share the gospel with them, make sure.
Well, I mean, that's probably why they have it.
Right.
Like that's probably why a lot of people have those tattoos. I know people that have those tattoos for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. I want you to ask. I want you to say something to me. Now, I think there's a younger generation that do it because of the way it looks. And it's, you know, I think it brings across a certain connotation for people. But you know, there's several kids on my team that have them that are in high school kids. And as soon as I see something like, oh, you got a new tat, then you just ask questions and you, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of get into their lives a little bit and you got the right to ask questions. And so it's kind of cool.
If they have a tattoo, they want people to see it and they want people to ask about it. Yeah. So it's just a complete open door. Well, as we wrap this up, any other thoughts on judgment, rebuking, correcting, sharing the gospel?
I think it's just be open to it. Like have an open heart to when you hear people judge, like, or say something to you, especially the people in your life that you care about the most. Mm-hmm. The people that you know love you might want to check next time when you get hot, when they say something about something you did or a character you showed or the way you did something, you know? So I think the people that are in our lives for the right reasons are going to say things and try to listen, you know? And then just keep in mind, you know, with the judgment thing, God can help you overcome that. He's helped me overcome that a lot. Like when I look at someone and I think a stupid thought, man, I pray right away. I'm like, God, that is not of you. Like, take that off of my mind. Take that out of my heart. Like, that's not who I want to be. Please help me work on that. And it has helped big time. And I ain't perfect, still ain't perfect, but it definitely has helped me overcome a lot of judgment issues I've had.
And I think it's the Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpening iron, so one person sharpens another. So you'll be one to call me out on something.
In a heartbeat.
And I'd call you out on something. But if I'm calling you out on something, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. It's
no.
Just, this is an area that you could grow in. If you're calling me out, you're not saying you're perfect. It's just this is you're doing it to help me grow in my relationship with Christ.
Well, and back to Matthew 7. Like, sometimes we don't realize the plank we have in our eye. So, like, sometimes we're going to get called out, or sometimes we might call somebody out, and we might get smacked right back in the face. And here's the cool thing. I also like being held to that standard, going back to Matthew 7. Like, I'm okay with being judgmental in a lot of areas, because I will welcome that judgment. Like, I will welcome the judgment of how I use my mouth. I will welcome the judgment about drinking. Like, I will welcome the judgment about loving others and treating others with respect. Like, those are things that I deserve to be called out on, and I want to be called out on. So I'm okay with holding that measuring stick up to others, and I'm okay with them holding it up to me.